This is Desiring God behind the blog. David Mathis here with Jonathan Parnell and Tony Ranke, coming to you on February 21, 2013. It's been over a month since our last episode of Behind the Blogs. We've had the Desiring God Pastors Conference here in town. We won't catch up on the whole month, but get you some recent catch-ups here from the Desiring God team here behind the scenes. In particular, this week, we've been talking about Rosaria Champagne Butterfield, from radical lesbian to redeemed Christian. Where did that story come from?
Yeah, Rosaria wrote a book titled The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert, an English Professor's Journey into the Christian Faith, and she published that in the fall of 2012 with a smaller publisher. I just, you know, came across it about a month ago, and it's really caught on. She's written a major story now for Christianity Today, and her story is fascinating. I mean, in the late 90s, she was a tenured English professor at Syracuse University. She was a skeptic of everything that was Christian. She was in a committed lesbian relationship. Her specialty in the academic realm was queer theory, which was like postmodern gay and lesbian studies. And today she's now the wife of a pastor in Durham, North Carolina, with
PCA
four
pastor.
Kids. Yeah, and it's just an amazing story of the power of the gospel in her life, and what the gospel cost her. And so we wanted to have her share her story, an abbreviated version of it in 12 minutes, and that became episode 14 on the Authors on the Line podcast, From Radical Lesbian to Redeemed Christian. I think what's unique about this podcast is that we asked her to share the gospel. And so you go from the testimony into the gospel, which really creates a podcast that has optimal missional potential. And so now we're trying to spread it online and to get this message out so that those who are in a similar lifestyle now can hear her story and hear the gospel and hear her share the gospel. And then we followed up with podcast number 15 in the Authors on the Line series with her about hospitality on mission. Hospitality is a major theme in her conversion story. There's a local church pastor in Syracuse who came to her and said, "Hey, we're going to be friends. We're neighbors. We're going to be friends." And so he and his wife introduced themselves to Rosaria, invited her into their home and talked about the gospel, talked about Christian things, and just were open and honest and listened and spoke humbly. And the testimony of Rosaria and the power of hospitality shines through in her testimony. And now she's really on a campaign to help Christians to understand the missional potential of hospitality. So that was the second podcast, Hospitality on Mission.
Both of those outstanding podcasts. Check them out, Authors on the Line. And on hospitality, I remember sitting in an evangelism class at RTS Orlando and Steve Childers saying to the class, "You know what'll be the biggest secret or the biggest tactic in evangelism in the 21st century, don't you?" And we all sat there quietly. He waited, finally said, "Hospitality."
That's
hospitality.
Amazing.
We're seeing this more and more.
Yeah.
And it's true in her life. And it's something that's important to consider here in 21st century, increasingly post-Christian Western culture.
And I think, Piper's going to be in the pulpit this weekend, and I think his message is going to be angled toward hospitality. Mm. So we'll have that, of course. He'll be preaching Saturday night. That'll be live streamed.
Yeah.
Then on Monday morning, by noon, we hope to have that sermon up. And I think it's also going to be on this topic of hospitality.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
And David, you wrote an article on the blog a while back about hospitality as missions. What was the title of that? Do you remember it?
From early October. I think it's called Hospitality and the Great Commission.
Yeah.
We'll link to it in the post.
Yeah, it's interesting. Unintentional, this has been a theme, it seems like. And so we need to kind of pull those together and get it.
And I think in a post-Christian society, I mean, you have to reach out in where the people are. They're not just going to flood in to the church on Sunday mornings because that's what culture does. Culture doesn't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's other ways to do this.
Hey, while we're talking about Authors on the Line really fast, can you tell us about some interviews you have scheduled or coming down the line, or what's that looking like?
Yeah, I recorded with Matt Chandler yesterday about why honesty with sin is important for building a cross-centered church, like not running to the shadows, but seeing personal sin for what it is.
Yeah, I saw the transcript. It looked great.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. And then I've got a podcast coming up with an author who specializes in studies of the life of G.K. Chesterton next Tuesday.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a Tony Ranke topic right there.
Yes, it is. Love Chesterton.
Very good. The name of the author, Oxford guy?
Ian Kerr.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Excited for that one. While we're on the topic of podcasts, little APJ update for us.
Yep.
They Ask Pastor John podcast. I've been going for a month now.
Yeah, I think we just recorded episode 44. So yeah, we've had a number of them every weekday at 10 a.m. We release one through Facebook and Twitter channels, and then provide a digest on Saturdays, but it's just 3 to 7 minutes with Pastor John on one question. And so we pose a question, he answers it, and then we set it up and put it on the blog.
Yeah, tell us about the app that's in process now.
Yeah, the secret app that nobody's supposed to know about is being developed right now.
Hey, this and is we're behind the blog here.
That's so right. If you're listening to this, you're diehard, you get this kind of information. Yeah, we've got an app coming out. It's going to be a real simple one. You open it up. You can either play the latest episode, latest 5 episodes, or you can ask a question, or you can share the podcast. So really simple, streamlined app. I don't know what the due date is on delivery, but it works. It works well, and so I think we're pretty close. Cool.
And if you want to know what we're excited about here behind the blog, this is one of the things we're very excited about. This Ask Pastor John podcast, revitalized, new, and exciting. Tony doing a great job on that, by the way.
Appreciate that.
And hey, here's something.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, something to mention.
As we're unveiling secrets. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about the homepage?
The homepage. Keep this
as
to yourself.
As we're here doing this recording, there's a team of guys in a room that are hammering out a new design for our homepage. Mm-hmm. And we put in a lot of meetings, a lot of time, just brainstorming what it could look like, wanting to make our homepage kind of the go-to spot on our site. Mm-hmm. And so there you have it. Well, it's probably still a little ways out, but.
Yeah. One thing to observe is that when working on a new homepage, the three of us are in here recording a behind the blog.
That's right.
And the experts are over in the other room working on the design. We've given some ideas, but we're the content guys. The design guys are elsewhere.
Yep.
And we're really excited for that new homepage.
We
want to train our users to be coming back to the homepage. You'll notice that already we're doing more with what's called the hero, the big graphic at the top of the homepage. We're changing out more frequently. We want to be able to say to our person visiting the website that this is the most important thing on the site right now. I want you to go check that out. So that's already beginning a little bit, and that'll be carried through fully with new design. And one thing we want to feature prominently on the new homepage is Ask Pastor John. Also, the Solid Joys devotional. There's the app in the iTunes store if you want to check out the daily devotional excerpt from John Piper called Solid Joys, as well as a sermon for the day, a listener selected. Some of the sermons that have risen to the top among our listeners as the most powerful and impacting. Mm-hmm. We have a list of those. We got one for every day of the year, and we'll be featuring that on the homepage.
It'd be really cool when the homepage gets released, the new homepage, that we could have a behind the blog and actually talk about
it. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we'll do one. We'll dedicate it to the homepage.
Yeah, at this point, man, it'd be just the work that goes behind it is even hard to even explain. Mm-hmm. When Josh Etter was, first kind of led the charge of, hey, let's really do this redesign, and then when we went out and solicited good feedback from partners in ministry, different meetings and stuff, just kind of picking their brains, wanting to find out, their impression of our site and its functionality and its design. And so I feel like we've come a long ways over a good course of a few months here.
A little bit like making a Pixar movie. I saw some extra footage on the Cars movie, how they made them. Like, well, that's kind of like making a new homepage at Desiring God. Well,
just
maybe
like
not
that.
Quite.
Exactly.
Jonathan, let's go to you and ask about the article you did recently called Watch Out, Watch or the out. Devil's Gonna Get You. Where did that come from?
It came from an interview you did with Pastor John on spiritual gifts about the story, just a crazy story of when he exorcised a demon early in his ministry. And he says one thing in that video, the way he begins is he mentions that he worries that Christians think of the devil in terms of the extraordinary, but that the New Testament actually pictures the devil as not mainly doing extraordinary things, but doing very ordinary things that are deadly and horrible. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really helpful category. And so processing that, thinking about that, and then I have a buddy who's traveling down in Alabama, and he sends me a text message of this billboard that he saw or this sign beside the road. So those things kind of coalesce, and I thought it would be interesting to talk about the devil and talk about how community, the importance of the church and life together, and how we help each other stand against the schemes of the devil. There is one line in the little article that I wrote that I thought there's a lot behind it, probably more than what it seems. It's a line about, let me see where it's at. I got it pulled up here. I think it's the fourth paragraph down. When the sign basically says, you know, go to church or the devil will get you. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a truth behind that. If you know, you qualify a few different ways. If by going to church they mean be a part of gospel shaped community, if they mean the devil will get you, as in you're going to be more susceptible to his schemes if you're not a part of gospel shaped community, then yes, of course that's good. But probably what the sign meant was it's just a way to kind of fear people mm-hmm. into going to church. You know, mm-hmm. go to church and you know, get your brownie points, or this is kind of what you do. It's kind of part of this, you know, Southern Christian culture thing that I grew up in. I'm well acquainted with. And the line in there, this is one thing I said. If it is this, you better attend a weekly meeting, or else Satan or Lucifer will eat your lunch, or Satan's going to get you. I say that would be Anglo folk religion, more akin to African animism than anything Christian. And the point I want to say there is that. Which we wouldn't necessarily notice or maybe say, but the like a Southern cultural Christianity is very folkish, and it actually is more similar to some like primitive, animistic, crazy spiritualized culture than it is Christian. So Christian is not that; it's much different from that, and. It's just something that kind of this cause and effect religion of you do this, this happens. And that's, it doesn't really get beyond that category. And how basically you determine, the religion is determined not by the Bible, but by experience. You know, that's animistic. That's how these primitive cultures develop their religion. And that's so rampant in the South, even among cultural Christians. And so I was kind of mention that really briefly, but there's a lot there behind that about what folk religion is, and how if we're not careful, we slip into folk religion. So,
are you from the South? You have some experience.
No, actually, believe it or not, I am from the South. this discovery of folk religion was I think I read it in what's the guy's book? It's the a book on basically comparative religion about different religions in the world, and he talked about this idea of folk religion and other and you know, primitive cultures, and I thought that's exactly what happens, you know, in the rural Carolinas that I grew up in.
That's rural Carolina, North Carolina,
rural North Carolina.
There you go.
Yeah, which is a great place to be, but you know, you can really slip into this kind of like cause and effect. You base your religion all on your experience, you know. So, anyways, yeah, that's probably more than I should have said about that. But
a lot behind that post.
A lot behind that line especially.
Really helpful post. I would encourage you to go check it out if you haven't already read it. We also have some more Lecrae videos coming.
We had
Lecrae wrapping the gospel in 1 minute recently, and we got some more Lecrae videos on the way.
We got one on. True manhood coming up. Ooh. Saturday.
Oh, good.
It's going to be great. Going to be great.
We probably should fill in our listeners on this WCCO thing. There's a local CBS station here in the Twin Cities called WCCO, and they called us up not too long ago. I think they wanted to do a story on local social media, so they started looking up people with a Minneapolis address on social media, and they were kind of surprised by this thing called Desiring God and this person called John Piper they had never heard of. And so they came to talk to the strange folks with a social media presence not too long ago. You guys want to give any details on that interview?
Chris Sanford is the guy's name. Mm-hmm. He came in the office and just wanted to chat with us about what we do for social media. I think he was genuinely intrigued, I think, with this guy he's never heard of, and the fact that we have this platform and the followers we do on Facebook and Twitter. And I thought he was very kind. I thought the article was kind. And obviously they took out a lot of what we said. We were trying to drop in. Obviously we did drop in Jesus and the gospel and why content matters mm-hmm. to us, and content matters because the center of the universe is content. The Word became flesh. Like that's what was everything's about. That, but it took a lot of that out. But still, I think it was a charitable story.
They were much kinder to us than I imagined.
Yeah.
They may be. I was appreciative.
They were, yeah.
Of it. We'll link to that in the blog post connected to this podcast.
Yeah.
We should mention two outstanding pro-life posts from Pastor Piper here in the last few weeks. And that brings to mind all those P's, brings to mind the title of Justin Taylor's chapter in the Feshrif in honor of John for the fame of God's name. The chapter title is like Piper's Powerful and Prophetic Pro-Life Preaching. So here's some powerful prophetic posts from Piper on pro-life. The titles are, We Know They Are Killing Children, All of Us. And that was from January 22 on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the 40th anniversary. And then just this week, The Truth About Abortion Will Set You Free. Two very, very significant posts on pro-life. And we're thankful that John made that investment to put those thoughts into posts that I think many have found helpful and have spread.
Yep.
David, why don't you give us an update on Theology Refresh? You've released a whole bunch of episodes, and are there any that stand out of late?
Well, yeah, we've been moving through the queue here. We got quite a few of these recorded, and so we've been doing one a week now for the last month. So recent episodes with John Piper on God's God-centeredness, with Russ Moore, Sam Storms, Ed Welch, this week Jarvis Williams on penal substitution, really helpful. And we got some more on the way with Jerry Bridges, Kevin DeYoung, and a few others. And we captured a few more at the Pastors Conference. It's been easy. When we got guys in town, we can serve up a topic to them, and in 10 or 12, maybe 15 minutes, capture some content on a particular doctrine or topic and make that in about that range of a mid-range commute, that 10 to 15 minutes. So we're continuing to pump those out and enjoying doing that. Hope that maybe you have listened to some of those and enjoyed them. It's in the iTunes store, Theology Refresh, and it's a free podcast there. Yep.
Tell us about also the piece you have up today, the really substantial blog post on Christian mission.
Yeah, it's called The Seamless Garment of Christian Mission, and the origin of that is a local pastor here in the Twin Cities. He's part of our Gospel Coalition Twin Cities group, and he asked if I would come in and do the Sunday sermon as part of their missions fest. They do a missions focus, and this year I think they'd been behind in scheduling a missionary to come in, and so they made it a local focus. They talk about local missions, Friday night, Saturday, Saturday, and then Sunday I was supposed to bring in the global missions piece and talk about the relationship between local mission and global missions. And I got a lot of help from John's 1984 sermon on the relationship between domestic ministries and frontier missions, and that really filled in the piece on how local mission is essential to global missions. That was the issue at the time, a generation ago at Bethlehem. The church was in a fresh awakening of global missions focus. And John wanted to, in particular, make the arguments for why local mission was important to global missions. The situation had kind of flipped at this church in here in the Twin Cities, where there's been a fresh emphasis on local mission, on being missional, on living on mission right here in the Twin Cities. And I wanted to bring in the piece on why global missions is important, why you're not truly missional if you don't have a prominent place for the reaching of the unreached. So in that article, there are three reasons why missional, local mission, is essential to global missions, and then why global missions is essential to doing true local mission here in the Twin Cities.
That's good. Yeah, one thing you said often, or you came back to it here at the beginning and end, is that there's one Christian mission, which I think is really helpful.
One mission, one great commission, one Lord, one faith.
That's right.
One mission. One more thing to mention here is the post by Christine Hoover, which is really good. The title there is A Weak Mother is a Good Mother. And we've been so thankful that Christine Hoover has partnered with us, sent us some posts. She's got a new book out for church planting wives, and really appreciative of her. I want you to read her stuff and be blessed by it as we are.
What about the Lent ebook? Is that maybe just mention that and more?
Yeah, that's my test this week, is to get an 8-day devotional set up for between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and we're hoping to launch that in about 2 weeks.
Okay, about mid March, so that'll be ready for that 8 days.
Technically, it would be a Holy Week devotional, I should have said, rather than Lent. So it's more
end of Lent.
Okay,
Holy Week.
Gotcha.
Begins Palm Sunday, ends on Easter.
That's right.
Great.
Cool.
Thank you for joining us behind the blog, and thank you to our producer, Stephen Green.